You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and again, I'm your host. Welcome, dear kinswomen and kinsmen, wherever you are in the world. It's a privilege for me to be able to speak to you, to be able to share these things with you, and learn with you, and, you know, speak with you in on emails and other things, and on the phone, and I love all of you people, and I'm praying for all of you. I pray for all of Israel, which doesn't include the Jews, of course. And I suggest that we all do that, that you pray for all of Israel. When I do pray for all of Israel, I pray for the traitors, but I pray if they will not repent, that they will be condemned, naturally. There's nothing worse than a traitor. I don't know why there always has to be a traitor. I don't know why there always has to be a traitor, too, which is usually a Jew, right? And so is the traitor. But we have a lot of white traitors in our race that have sold out to the devil, and it's inexplicable. It's so unworth it. Or so not worth it. It's just beyond measure. I just don't know what to think. But I do pray for all of Israel. And it's important that we all love our brethren, that we all care about them. You know, prayer is an act of loving each other. When people ask me to pray for them, I do gladly. And I will also ask you to pray for me, because I'm being backed up against the wall financially, and it's looking like I might have to go back to Babylon. I'll be making this decision somewhere next month. I don't understand why these things are the way they are, but I talked about it on last week's news and at the end of the show. And I'm not going to get into a big thing about it, but please pray that the Father will allow me to continue, because this is an extremely important time. And I thank all of those people, all of you that care about me, pray for me, and those that support me on a regular basis. I believe I've lost my main supporter that really helped me make it through. All of you do, but this was my largest supporter. And I'm not sure why. It has nothing to do with the Apostle Paul. It has nothing to do with, you know, me offending, as far as I know. I mean, I have no idea. I don't think so, though. I think sometimes people just have to, you know, just decide they're not going to continue, you know. And so hopefully if you pray that the Father will raise up some people to give on a regular basis so that I can continue. I don't have to make it that long until, you know, I would be able to collect Social Security or whatever. So it's about three-ish years or something. But I still would like to make it through that time, because Miss Elke would suffer too. You know, she'd have to be here by herself and all that stuff. And while I was working for, you know, wasting 9 hours a day at, you know, working minimum wage, probably, which is, you know, I'm not above anything. I'm humble enough. If I have to do it, I'm going to do it. That's the way it is. I mean, I can't worry about it. I'm concerned about it, though, because it concerns me that, you know, if I go away, you can go listen to the Jewish Truth Movement, I guess. And that bothers me. That, you know, I'm somebody that cares for the kingdom. And I believe a lot of you do too. But I don't understand, you know, why somebody like myself wouldn't be more valuable, let's say, I guess. Listen, I know I'm just a regular fellow, you know, but I am trying to help our people, and I am trying to restore the gospel of Jesus Christ and restore the testament to one testament and to restore the name of the Father, at least to be a help in these things and to teach you how to fight the war of words. So that's just something I wanted to say, and it's in your court. I mean, I gave it over to the Father because I can't, you know, I'm not going to wrestle with it anymore. Basically, this decision will be made next month. So let me tell you this too, something that's interesting. You know, it hit me, you know, that the world, here's how very little the world cares about the Father. What are the first things these people think about when it comes to this so-called crisis, this manufactured crisis? What are the, you know, showing what's important to the people? What's most important to the people? Did they go to the Father? Now, I'm sure there's some that did. And I'm not speaking of you people. I'm speaking of the world. What are the first things they think about? Their pie hole and their butt, to put it nicely. There's two things that are important to the people, the inlet and the outlet, and how to keep the outlet clean with toilet paper. I don't understand the world. I'm... I mean, you know, it might sound funny to you, but it's really a sad situation that the first thing they think about is eating and toilet paper. Did you ever think of that? It's strange for sure. And when I thought about it, I had mentioned it to somebody, but it's really strange to me that that's the first thing they're thinking about. Okay, we're on page 281 of Fritz Springmeier's book, Be Wise as Serpents. Last week, we learned quite a bit about the Watchtower Society, and they are pro-New World Order, and they plan on all taking the Mark of the Beast and killing anybody who doesn't have the Mark of the Beast. They also plan on killing all the Christians. Excuse me. Sorry, I had to cough. They plan on killing all the Christians because nobody is a real Christian except them, just like the Catholics are, right? And that just like the Apostle Paul. Very amazing, isn't it? Imagine they're going to kill all the Christians, and they say they're going to be doing this in the service of the kingdom, so to speak. So, this is the 49th point, but I didn't do it by number. I just went next thing and next thing. So here we are. In the new order, people such as the resurrected ones will have the exact same personalities. Okay, this is, remember, this is not biblical. This is the Watchtower Society. This is what they believe. This is what they have been programmed with. They will be the same personalities, the same people. The so-called law of sin and death will not have been abolished from them. Life Everlasting in the Freedom of the Sons of God, page 396 and 397. One good thing about Fritz is he's always giving the sources, the source material, so you could look it up. Pastor Russell is asked, question 34, Please explain what condition the body will be in the resurrection, whether a lost eye or the hearing will be restored at their awakening, or how. It is not the teaching of Scripture that man will come forth in the resurrection perfect. If there was a wart on the hand before it was withered, it might be there afterwards. Well, did you notice that after Yeshua was resurrected and he came back to the disciples, he allowed them to touch his wounds? Did you notice that? That was me injecting that thought. Okay, that he didn't say that. Next one. The great crowd, quote unquote, will not undergo a change of nature from human to spiritual, and so do not need the justification by faith and the imputed righteousness that the 144,000 chosen ones, quote unquote, have required. Isn't it interesting that we see the Apostle Paul's gospel again? The great crowd will not undergo a change of nature from human to spiritual, and so do not need the justification by faith. We're justified by faith. That's the Apostle Paul. So you see how it's here, right? This is what they teach. This is what they think about. This is how you're justified. They believe falsely. It's wrong. And the imputed righteousness that the 144,000 chosen ones have required. Not imputed human perfection by faith in Christ's blood, but the actual human perfection in the flesh by the uplifting, cleansing help of God's messianic kingdom. This is what the great crowd, quote unquote, will need and what they will attain by Christ's kingdom of 1,000 years. So they'll be working out their salvation. See, the great crowd is not part of the 144,000. See, once they superseded the 144,000 of membership, they had to change everything again. You see? And so now those who are after the 144,000 are called the great crowd. In other words, they don't have the same righteousness or the same benefits or anything that the so-called chosen ones have acquired. See? Isn't that interesting? So the great crowd will have to, during the 1,000 years of Christ's reign, they will have to be perfected during that, is what the Jehovah Witnesses are claiming. And that's from Life Everlasting and Freedom of the Sons of God, page 391. Next one, quote, the first work is to clear away the awful debris of the Battle of Armageddon. It does not take many years, unquote. The Golden Age, 225, 1928, number 218, page 277. The slaughter, their slain, also shall be cast out in and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. Religion, 1940, page 346. See, these aren't anything biblical, so you understand? They just make these things up. It's amazing. Quote, like dung upon the ground will lie the unburied bodies of those who would not heed God, strewn over the earth unlamented, 1952 yearbook, July 27th. Quote, that millions of people will be killed in that battle is certain. So I got to go up to here real quick. In 1929, in the war chapter, okay, that's where that came from. Now, quote, for 7 prophetic months, the Armageddon survivors will gather up the bones and bury them, unquote. From Paradise Lost to Paradise Regained, page 211. Boy, are they in for a surprise. Pass out the gas masks. In this new order, going to be Is this new order going to be an earthly paradise or an Orwellian nightmare? Which? What is the current spiritual paradise, quote-unquote, like for the Jehovah Witnesses? Or to put it another way, what is life like as a Jehovah Witness? Does he have a new personality, quote-unquote, or a split personality, quote-unquote, as he tries to reconcile life, and what is he told to believe? In the condition of the New World Society, slavery, is that a condition of slavery or freedom? Will the people be given a new language or news speak? Are the Jehovah Witnesses truly happy or just brainwashed robots? Chapter 1.16, The Mark of the Beast. Three items you will learn in this chapter: that the power plans to cause all to take a Luciferian initiation, and that the One World Order plans to tag and mark everyone so that they can be instantly identified by satellites, and so that they must buy and sell through their controlled system. Number three, that the Watchtower Society is coordinating with these plans. You can certainly see that if they're going to kill everybody without the mark of the beast and they're going to kill all the Christians. Now you know why Jehovah is the devil's name, right? Because the devil, they are the devil's witnesses and they're going to kill the Christians. Remember, they think that Lucifer and Jesus were brothers. Very interesting. So, has the reader watched a TV show on India or met with a guru? Perhaps you've seen how Hinduism, especially the Hindu teachers, mark their foreheads with a red, yellow, or white dot. This is the position of the third eye. Yes, it's one of the chakra points, they call it. Let me mention this about the Indians, too. I guess some Indians were selling fecal matter and cow urine. I guess it was cow fecal matter and cow urine across the world for something that would heal the coronavirus. Notice that, you know, when you look at the Indian people, not only do they smell very bad, but they look like dung and they eat dung. You know that the gurus that would have people come over there to study them. Now, I'm not saying all of them, but it is one of the marks that they do, is they would have the people eat their dung, eat their fecal matter. Not the people's fecal, but the Hindu guru's dung, so that you could become one with him. I know you're laughing. I know. I hear you. No, it's not funny at all. It's serious. These people have a lot to do with dung. They crap in the streets. They're known as street, well, crappers, let's say. I don't know what it is about these people, but they are one with dung in many ways. It's just weird. Just strange and weird. That's all I can tell you. Just reflect on what I just told you. Can you imagine you went to, like, your George Harrison or one of these freaks that goes over there to study after the guru, and he says, well, if you want to become one with me, you need to eat my fecal matter. And, of course, those people did these things. It's a strange world, folks. It really is. So, Jeffrey Hodson, in The Hidden Wisdom of the Holy Bible, Volume 1, page 140, tells his readers that man has now advanced to the point where he is able to use the third eye lying beneath his forehead. This is why public schools are now teaching subjects on the third eye, such as math and the third eye, the third eye. You know, incidentally, that's exactly what the unicorn has, the horn of power coming out of its third eye area, by the way. This third eye is one of the chakras, which are energy points and initiation sites that open up outside forces to enter the body. Did you just hear that? Do you know who those outside forces that would enter the body are? Just like when they tell you to empty yourself so that something can come in. You know, open yourself up to these by meditating on these things. And they get people to acquiesce. This is what yoga does. They talk about the chakra points. They talk about the serpent that goes, spins around your spine. The kundalini, it's called. So white women go and do this to become empowered. They don't go to the father, they go to the devil. And it's no wonder that many of the women are in the conditions they're in. So the third eye is on one of the chakras, which are energy points and initiation sites, blah, 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 blah. Another chakra is on the palm of the right hand. These two positions happen by some holy coincidence to match up with the marks of the beast prophesied in Revelation 13, 16, and 17, verse 16 and 17. The information that this author has learned on the subject is vast. Hopefully, the following will summarize this subject before the details are given. The plans of the Satanists who control the Jewilluminati are to have everyone take a Luciferian initiation. I hope you're listening. Luciferian initiations have been given already for years, actually for centuries. These initiations have already involved using the chakra points of the right palm and the forehead. Satanists may initially only push for an invisible mark, but the ultimate goal is to make the mark a visible mark that people will wear as a status symbol. Whoa. That they will be proud of. That will give the Satanists a perverse thrill to look over their slaves who proudly wear their master's brand in the same proud manner that a Texas rancher looks over his herd of cattle all wearing his ranch's brand. The New Age manual of the initiation entitled The Rays and the Initiations reveals that the mark is to be given to all mankind. It is also clear that the power intends to inject coded microchips into everyone under the guise or disguise of a national AIDS vaccination, which may be now another different kind of a thing. This was back in 91, remember now. Humane societies are already injecting microchip tags into dogs to prove the viability of the tagging system. The tags will enable computers via satellites to track and identify every human being. Well, they found a way to get that in your hand with your cell phone already. Now the goal would be to get it into your body. Right? Doesn't that make sense? It is very likely that hand scanners will come into use and people given a mandatory barcode on their hands. The barcode that we now must use to buy or sell with already has the number 666 hidden within it, as I've told you before. The two marks at the beginning and the end and the two marks in the middle are 666. Every product. With all my awareness that the initiation point of the New Age is the third eye, it is significant that Jehovah's Witnesses, rather than being warned against following the plans of Satan, are being warned that they must take the mark on the third eye area to survive into the new world system. That Jehovah's Witnesses are being directed in that direction is another indication who their masters will ultimately serve. Jehovah, yeah. Who is not the Father in heaven, believe me. We've already determined that, haven't we? As the Jehovah Witnesses have been conditioned to obey without question, it is probable that they will also join in taking the Luciferian initiation. The Jehovah's Witnesses are not esteemed too highly by the internationalists. For them, the Jehovah's Witnesses are merely the internationalists. Expendable shock troops. Internationalists shock troops. They are not too concerned whether the Jehovah's Witnesses do or don't fall in line for survival. Marks of Lucifer. Witches receive a small mark called the Devil's Mark. New Agers are receiving stars on theirs during a Luciferian initiation. Well, it's funny that, you know, that's just a misprint of the of a sentence. It's not the right sentence, but what can I do about it? This initiation also gives them a Kundalini, a.k.a. Skatapat, experience. Their minds are altered by the initiation, and their new personality is now Satan-possessed. You hearing this, folks? You wonder why these people sell out that are in our government? Maybe that's the answer. You wonder why the stars of today and yesterday all had to do with that? You know, I was really thinking about, I think I'm going to do a little thing right here because this is something I was dreaming about. And it's about, I did it my way. So I'm going to interrupt what I'm talking about right now, but we'll get back to it. See, I was dreaming about this, and it was haunting me all night about this whole thing. And what I realized is that, of course, I've said to you before, when you say I did it my way, it means I did my own thing. It means do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And so I kept thinking about it, and it was something to do with that these people always have to do homosexual acts in order to be with the devil and to be able to live their way. And so I thought, well, I've never really read the words to this song, but I think it's time we do, and I've got it right here. My way. Listen to this. Very, very interesting. And now the end is near, so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. Sounds a little like the devil, doesn't it? You see, what I propose to you this song is this is an anthem to the devil. It is one of the world's anthem to the devil. That's why this fellow became so, Frank Sinatra became so, of course, he's a Jew. He knew he was a Jew. He's an Italian, but he knew he was a Jew. He had a kippah. So somebody let him know that he was a Jew, not just an Italian. And all the Jews and Italians, were very attracted to this man. And so you see, I'm not done reading the lyrics, I'm just speaking as I go. This is not planned, it's just what it is. See, this is an anthem. about, it's an anthem for the world of the Antichrists and how they'll do it their way, how they can live Crowleyan law. Crowley was a Jew. We found out that he's of Jewish heritage now. I didn't know Crowley was a Jew, but that's something we've just found out. But, I mean, he fits the Jew, I mean, to the T. Not only that, but he called himself 666, the number of the beast. He called himself the beast. And do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law is what he gave forth. This is where you get all this stuff. Do your thing. Do your own thing. Do what you want to do. I did it my way. It's my way or the highway. And so on and so forth. And I'm sure you can think of a lot more of these too. So think about it, you know, like, I don't know why I get that impression, but it sounds like this is the devil speaking. But let's see if that turns out that way. And now the end is near, so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few. You've heard me speak on that. But then again, too few to mention. Yet he mentions it. I did what I had to do, and I saw it through without exception. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway. Oh, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you know, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall, and I did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried. I've had my fails, my share of losing. And now as tears subside, I find it all. That's how it ends. That's very interesting, isn't it? Let's make sure. I don't know why it only went to that point. Okay. There's a little more, I guess. So I'll start from, I've loved, I've laughed and cried. I've had my fill, my share of losing. And now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing. To think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, not me, I did it my way. For what is a man, what has he got? If not himself, then he has not, which means nothing, right? To say the things he truly feels, again feels, and not the words of one who kneels. Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my way. Notice how it's an I, me, my, me, I, me thing. And now that I've read it all, you see, he had to give a kick to the Christians, but they couldn't say it right out like they do today. See, what he says here, to say the things he truly, for what is a man, what has he got, if not himself? Then he has not, nothing, to say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. You see, this is typical Jewry and their father. This is the devil. And this is the devil telling you that this is how you should be. If you're a real man, you'll do it your way. You won't take anything from anybody. That's how Rutherford was, right? Remember? He didn't let anybody tell him to do anything, including the father, of course. Well, I'm glad that the father brought that to memory because I had forgotten about the dream. I was thinking earlier today or yesterday on how, geez, what was that about? And I usually ask the father, will you please remind me? So he did it. He knew that I needed it to be reminded to me. Sometimes I write things down, but when you're talking about dreams and things, you need to have a notebook near you. If you're thinking, you have to write these things down because gems can slip away. I would say that it's a good thing this one didn't, because I'll tell you, if you read these words for yourself or you listen to what I said going all the way through, see, the end is near. And so I face the final curtain. The devil knows that. Who is he going to state his case to, of which he's certain? Right? He's traveled each and every highway. What does the devil do? He goes up and down, roaming the earth, seeking to whom he may devour. Right? And the highway, the world, is not the narrow road that leads to eternal life. So, of course, the devil would be on every highway. He certainly wouldn't be on the road that leads to eternal life unless he was trying to get somebody off of it, if the Father allows him on it at all. How's that for some thinking? Praise be to the Father in heaven, for he loves you. He loves me too. Don't let anybody tell you that he doesn't. If you love him and obey him, you can't go wrong. So there it is, folks. Praise the Father for bringing that to my memory so that we could check that out. I've never read the words to that song before. It shows you that when people are singing things to you, you don't even know what they're really saying half the time, right? I've heard that song many times. All I remember ever from that is, and regrets, I had a few. See? And I did it my way. That's all I remember from that song. But now, we have a much clearer picture of what that song is about, don't we? So, let me read this again. Witches receive a small mark called the Devil's Mark. New Ages are receiving stars as their mark during a Luciferian initiation. Stars. What have I told you about stars? Right? The right side up star is the Edomite star. It's on all the war tanks and everything else, right? In Russia and America and every, you know, it's everywhere. And then the upside down star is their father, Lucifer, the goat of Mendes. Isn't it funny that you, not funny funny, but isn't it funny that you call these people that shine out in this world stars. In other words, what are stars? They're light. And when Yeshua says we're the light of the world, I already explained that to you, that means that by obeying his law and loving him, we shine out amongst the darkness of this world. But they're telling you that these are stars that are actually the brightest, who shine out in this world. And they are the antithesis of what the Father would call stars. Remember the stars of the fathers, right? His commandments keep them in their place. But the world's stars shine a light, but it's not the light of the Father in heaven, ladies and gentlemen. It's the light of their father, Lucifer, or who they're serving. Many of them are Jews, and the ones who aren't are serving the Jew's father, the devil. They've sold their souls for this light. Again, the light bringer, bringing the brightest stars through the one-eyed television, the singular eye. The singular eye that has a double mind, double think, double speak. It's not really a singular at all. It's actually an abomination. And it takes light to bring that television screen to you. But it's not the light of the Father in heaven. Tell me that's not interesting. They started all this nonsense, you know, like people get a star on the sidewalk in Hollywood, right? They're stars. Well, what is it saying here? Witches receive a small mark called the devil's mark. New ages are receiving stars. Hello? Isn't that the same thing? So, it says, their minds are altered by the initiation, this Luciferian initiation, and their new personality is now Satan-possessed. Just like the musicians tell you. Just like that boxer I mentioned said, it's not me who you'll be fighting. It's not my eyes who you'll be looking into. And Fury says, well, then whose eyes will it be? You see? Imagine these people will give their souls away to become a musician. I say this all the time. Or an actor, or a boxer, or whatever it might be. And the devils are going to play the instruments and do the fighting and everything else. So what's the point? I mean, imagine you could violate yourself like that and say, well, I told you, I wanted to be a musician because I wanted to play the music. I wanted to sing the music. I wanted to, you know, to show that my accomplishments that I have worked hard on, right? These people have no shame at all. See, that's why you can just take affirmative action people, throw some demons in them, and some people think that this is talent. Doesn't make any sense. You mean to tell me you want to be a big musician? So in other words, they really just want to do this for the money and for the fame and for the maybe the accolades or whatever it might be. They don't really care if they have the talent to be a star or the ability. They don't have to depend on that. They just allow the demon to come in them, and really the demon enjoys that, of course, because the demon can be the star. He can be the one, or she can be, well, I don't know if there's she ones, but whatever. It. It can be the star shining through the so-called sellout. Very weird, man. I'm telling you, this is a very weird world we're living in. Let's take a break real quick. This is one of my songs from the Rocking in the Grain album. It's called Just in the Nick of Time. And of course, you know, you can hear them a little, you know, it's a little earlier of an album, but it's interesting. Or so I say. Welcome back to the Saxon's Creed Radio Show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, amazing. I do know that the devil is very angry right now because this 1900-year-old lie. The reason I would say it's probably more of a 1900 to 2000 year deception. It's the Apostle Paul's works went underground for almost 100 years after Yeshua was raised from the dead. It's just weird, but it's a 1900 year, let's say, lie. A deception that most of the rest of the Jews' deceptions rely upon and lie upon. So, of course, this would be tantamount. It would be so important to the devil to keep this in place, because if this was displaced and removed and the world found out about it, this would make the whole house of cards collapse. Because the lies that these so-called Jews are God's chosen people, which is a complete fabrication, a complete fable, and that Moses is a Jew and Abraham's a Jew and Jesus, these are all laying on this Apostle Paul lie. And then on top of that, once they've used the lie of the God's chosen people crap, then they put the Holocaust laying on top of that. And equality and all the other fables that they have brought forth. Communism and Darwinism, etc., etc. Once the Apostle Paul lie gets chopped down, all the others will fall away with it. That's why the devil's angry. I'm not telling you this to feel sorry for me. I'm just telling you that, whatever happens, happens. I will tell the truth no matter what. I don't care what happens. I mean, I do to a point, but I'm just saying that, the truth is paramount. It's very, very important. When I leave a body of work behind someday, whenever that is, I want it to be known that I had the courage to do this. I know that I'm not going to be remembered through all of time or any of that stuff. I don't care about any of that stuff. But when the same way as Comperay left his body of work or Wesley Swift or something, I want to leave a body of work that is worth something, that is just as fresh, many years from now, if there are many years from now, when you hear Comperay's stuff, you just know, it's definitely still fresh. I mean, not the part about Russia or something like that, but, most of it is just, wow, very good. This is important that I've always tried to give the quality of work, the quality of the recording, so that someday in the future somebody doesn't have to do what I had to do with Comperay's recordings. They'll all be sounding very good. I go out of my way to make sure that that's the way it is. And I do that as much as possible. Every once in a while, there might be a recording when I'm out of town or something, and I can't help that. But this body of work is important to me because it's important to the kingdom. It's important to the future. If there is a future, I really can't say. I mean, there's a future, but I mean a future how many more future generations? I don't know. You know what I mean? Of course, there's a future in the Father's kingdom. I'm just saying, as far as a future for future generations, let's say, for posterity. This is very serious business to me, and the Father's business, and we're not talking in the worldly sense, but the Father's business is very important to me. And I never thought that it's possible he could say, well done, good and faithful servant, but there is a hope that that would be the way it will be. And I hope it will. For all of us, I hope that you can say the same thing. I hope he'll say that to you. So, let's continue here. We're on page 283. And it says, Astara's booklet, Finding Your Place in the Golden Age, has a picture of a New Age thinker with a star on his forehead. Ha ha ha. What does that remind me of now that I just think about this? Do you remember in school that if you were a good student, you answered things, questions right, they'd put a star right at that point on your forehead? I remember getting one. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Does that bring up memories? These marks on the forehead's third eye area may vary. The important item is the location. The third eye is the area that is important to point. It's the important point to the occult. It is significant that the Watchtower Society has been warning people in the recent years that they need a mark on the forehead to get into the new order. Can you believe what you're hearing? Seriously, ladies and gentlemen, can you even begin to believe what you're hearing? Can you imagine being in this organization and they're telling you you need to get the mark of the beast and this doesn't alarm them? You're going to be killing Christians. Well, they're not real Christians. They don't believe like I believe, and they're not the 144,000 are part of the great crowd, so they're really just the devil's servants. When in reality, this is just insane. This is insane. I hope you're enjoying learning about what's going on. Can you imagine if you were at church and the pastor said to you, you need to receive the mark on your forehead or your forehand. You need to. Can you imagine what would go through my mind? I mean, I would turn tail and walk right out of there immediately. I don't have a tail, but that's an old saying, you know. Phew, what a world. So, let me continue. What is the Watchtower's test to be worthy to enter into the new order? Is it placing so many books? Is it praying for so many hours? Under this section, tested as to worthiness of survival, quote unquote, in the Watchtower's United in Worship, 1983, page 106, it says that the test is to have a mark, quote unquote, that separates a person from, quote, pretending Christians, unquote. Hello, hello. I know you're listening. In the Watchtower book, Survival into the New Earth, the Jehovah's Witnesses are given instructions how to survive into the coming new system. Under the chapter, quote, identified for destruction or survival, unquote, under the subsection, do you have the mark, quote unquote, the JWs are instructed, it would be a serious mistake to conclude that if a person tries to lead a good life, and if he shuns religions that are doing things clearly condemned in God's word, nothing more is required of him. unquote, I guess. All who hope to survive into the new earth, quote unquote, must also be unmistakably, identified as worshippers of Jehovah. Worshippers of Lucifer. What was the key to survival? It was the mark placed on one's forehead by the man with the secretary's inkhorn. All who want to be marked as having God's approval must accept the instruction that Jehovah is providing through that slave class and become true worshipers. No one will put a literal mark on their forehead. It is not clear to this author exactly where this teaching is going. On the one hand, they refer to an actual physical mark being necessary. Yet a further page says the mark means to put on a new personality. This sounds somewhat like the Scatapat experience, which is that Kundalini thing. Whatever the Watchtower Society means, it is significant that they have spent one chapter in a colored picture on the theme. Three colored pictures are included in the Survival into the New Earth book. First is the picture of a person taking a mark. Second is a picture telling us to be submissive and repent of our own prideful ways. Third is a picture of what happens if a person thinks of what life used to be, or if a person thinks anywhere that the society doesn't want them to think, they may share the fate of Lot's wife, who turned into a pillar of salt. I hope you're listening. The message is that once you are a Jehovah's Witness, you cannot turn back and look at the world. You must only look where you are being led. Read this, a mind control, a self-imposed censorship. I don't know, you know, like this doesn't, read this, a mind control. I don't know what he's saying. Read this as a mind control, a self-imposed censorship. I guess I'll have to correct that. Now, if you do this, your mind in the Watchtower Societies, these sentences aren't complete here. It is interesting that the location of the Watchtower's required mark exactly matches the New Age initiation point required to survive into the New Age. Remember the Golden Age? It is not clear why, if this is an invisible mark and only symbolic, why it is so ominously fussed over so much. The fuss being made is that all, regardless of background, who hope to survive into the new earth must have this mark. One Watchtower reference alludes to standing in line to receive the mark. The door has been left open for the Watchtower to do what they have often done before, that is to come back and reinterpret in a different but more precise way what they have hinted at in a vague fashion. This makes it appear that they have held the view for a long time. On the one hand, the society says the mark is symbolic. On the other hand, they say it is needed. They say a person doesn't automatically acquire the mark by doing all the correct things. Who is the man with the inkhorn that gives this mark on the third eye to survive? Yeah, that's very interesting, huh? Originally, it was said to be Charles Taze Russell. Later, the man was identified as, quote, the spiritual remnant or faithful and discreet slave class, unquote. Alice Bailey indicates that the Luciferian initiation will be done in the churches and Masonic lodges. Think about that, folks. Here's one example of one that it will be done in. You see? Let me read that again. Alice Bailey indicates that the Luciferian initiation will be done in the churches and Masonic lodges. Externalization of the Hierarchy, page 514. And that what she calls externalized ashrams will be active along the major line of the public inauguration of the system of initiation, page 700. Should the Watchtower Society align itself with the new order when needed, then its kingdom halls may become part of the system of churches and externalized ashrams, quote unquote, that provide the initiation. New Age sources reveal that the Watchtower Society is cooperating with the power, but that it is showing some signs of independence, which the power is wanting stopped. Amazing. The Watchtower, unbelievable. Tex Mars found stories of marks that are being given even today. Witches receive a small mark called the Devil's Mark. The New Agers are receiving stars on theirs in a Luciferian initiation. Now, this is repeating again. I don't know why it's doing that. The New Age and Hindu teaching of an energy point between one's eyes on the forehead is a precursor of the mark of the beast. Mars finds in his research that various New Agers are already sealing people in the third eye area. And a New Age manual of initiation entitled The Rays of and the Initiations reveals the mark is to be given to all mankind. It also reveals that the marks are related to the third eye and the right palm chakras. The pentagram comes up repeatedly in the New Age literature as an initiation sign on the forehead. The mark will be a mark of an advanced thinker. Rather than restate Mars's research in full, this author will mention one more interesting point. The number 666 is also related to the third eye by New Agers. There may be various marks placed on the forehead or the third eye area. The significant item is the location. In recent years, the Watchtower Society has been warning their people that they need a mark on the forehead in order to get in the New World Order. Seems to be repeating a little bit here. In the Watchtower book, Survival into the New Earth, Jehovah's Witnesses are given instructions how to survive into the coming new system. Under the chapter, Identified for Destruction or Survival, under the subsection, Do You Have the Mark? The Jehovah's Witnesses are instructed, it would be a serious mistake to conclude that if a person tries to lead a good life. See, this is just kind of repeating here, so let me move down a little bit. I don't know why that's being repeated. It is noteworthy that the mark is located in the same area that Mars identifies as the mark of the beast. It is not clear why, if this is an invisible mark and only symbolic, why it is so ominously fussed over so much. The fuss being made, okay, we read that already. Yep, and they show a picture of somebody writing the mark. Number one, confidential interviews with ex-Jewilluminati members, the new Globalism 2000 curriculum being introduced to the schools will have a veiled Luciferian initiation given to all elementary students. Two, confidential interviews with ex-New Age leaders. Three, personal knowledge of author of what others have experienced in Tex Mars, Mystery of the Mark of the New Age. So I guess these are just some bullet points, and he gives some recommended reading. So we'll continue. Chapter 1.17, Smokescreens. You will learn, number one, the reader will learn about smokescreens that the Jehovah's Witnesses, Watchtower Society, and the Masons have thrown up around their organizations. Number two, the reader will find out why satanic activities of the Jew Illuminati are so hard to discover. Number three, the reader will be given information from history and testimonies that indicate the satanic Jew Illuminati threat to rule the world is a serious and very real threat. One April Saturday in 1974 in sunny Southern California, an overconfident Jehovah's Witness met with Bill Setnar. The Jehovah's Witness was Dwayne Magnani, and he was sure that he could expose the lies that Bill had told his brother about the Watchtower Society. Dwayne was trying hard to get his brother back into the organization. He felt that Bill had to be met and refuted. Even though the local elders had trembled and stuttered with fear and warned him not to talk to Setnar, when they learned who Dwayne was to meet, they told him to follow God's arrangement is what is important. One of the things Dwayne learned that day was the lies and false prophecies that the society has propagated. And long story short, Dwayne did something about the information he learned that day. Dwayne eventually would realize the mind control that the Watchtower Society uses, and so Dwayne used his own literature, or their own literature, to show the society's lies in order to crack that mind control. His campaign to expose their lies motivated him within 2 years to get the largest collection of the world in the world of Jehovah's Witness material outside of the Watchtower Society itself. This fellow Dwayne, his books of understanding, the title based on the Watchtower Society's explanation that one needed eyes of understanding to know God's plan, and they, of course, were the ones with the correct eyes, exposes their false prophecies. Dwayne went on to write, Who is the Faithful and Wise Servant? Called the Who Book for short, it shows the Watchtower's cover-ups of their long-held view that Russell was the sole faithful and wise servant. Because their present leadership uses the parable of the wise servant to justify their dictatorship, that the society held Russell to be that servant, and that servant died, is devastating to their theology. They have worked hard to cover up the creature worship they gave to Charles Taze Russell. Well, so many things that they have done and claimed are falsehoods anyway, and they've been proven to give forth false prophecy because the world was supposed to end in 1914, and I believe it was either 75 or 77. I'm pretty sure it was 75. So that didn't happen, as you see, and so many more things than that, too, you know. So it is interesting. You see, one way they cover it up, if you remember this, is they'll say, they'll teach them what's known as the present truth. In other words, what that means is they've had to change things to retool them. And so yesterday's truth may not be the present truth. The numerous cover-ups by the Watchtower Society and their dishonesty is so pervasive that it boggles the mind of the sincere historian. But they are successfully carrying out their campaign of false information. Why? Most people know nothing or little about the Jehovah's Witnesses. They have the liberty to investigate before they join, but few know how to, and then they rely on Watchtower material. After they join, it is difficult for them to ever make an honest appraisal of their religion or its history. Outsiders have little interest in the Watchtower movement. Naturally, right. Only a small group of people keep watch over the Watchtower Society. This is why the Society is able to buffalo so many people. Russell's smokescreens. Most of us go through life without questioning why we do things we do. Why do we wear ties and import granite from Vermont to bury our dead under? However, this author is one of those who is always asking why. And the problem of why Russell, why, I like that better, why Russell was so deceptive many times in his life, and yet he was clearly respected as a very honest man, and indeed considered himself to be an honest man, was a puzzle. His lies in court to cover his friends would hardly seem to be worth the trouble. But once this author saw how the mindset of Russell was so clearly a reflection of the views surging through the Masonic halls of that age, then it at last made sense. Russell was honest as Masons are trained to be. That it is not a lie to deceive those who are not worthy of the truth. Remember this now. Think about it. Further, like many Masons, he kept his membership very quiet. He pays close attention not to let out any clues that his beliefs are from the Masonic Hall. He always portrays his beliefs as coming from the Bible. A Mason invented phrenology, and the Mormons and Russell were big on phrenology at the time when it surged through the Masonic halls. Masons had dabbled in the occult and magic, and both the early Mormon leaders and Russell did healing with magic handkerchiefs. The pyramidology surged through the lodges, and both the Mormons and Russell picked it up. Russell is careful to always use the Bible as the fall guy, quote-unquote, for his beliefs. He calls his magic handkerchief Paul's handkerchief. Hello! Did you hear that? He called his magic handkerchief Paul's handkerchief. You know who Paul is, right? You know that false apostle? He ties his pyramid beliefs back to some scripture which are misused to prove his beliefs. Very interesting. Russell is always playing to an audience. He's very careful to say and do the right things. He is careful not to expose his deep Masonic mindset. But every now and then he slips. He refers to the woman of Luke 15:8 as divine energy, quote unquote, but then when questioned about this, denies to having written it. The fact that something in the tower might be misunderstood would not surprise us any. Why we find a whole lot in the Bible that has been misunderstood, quote unquote. Bible Students Convention, Indianapolis, 1907, page 26. Russell is also asked if anyone else teaches the invisible presence of Christ. Are there any other papers than the Tower which teach as it does that Jesus is now present? Russell answers, we know of none other which teaches the personal presence of Jesus. Watch Tower, page 546, 10, 1883. That he can say this is just remarkable. He is fully aware that others, such as the Rosicrucians, teach this. Besides, the Christians have held that he has been invisibly present since his ascension. Rutherford is the second Watchtower president. He was a lawyer. He was as honest as the common stereotype of lawyers. You know what that means. In other words, he does what it takes to win. Yes, the ends justify the means, which comes from Plato. By reprinting in 1928 an article that is negative about Freemasonry, he may simply have been putting up a smokescreen so that Masonic goals could continue to be carried out. Certainly, this was his modus operandi with the demonic Ouija healing devices that headquarters were using. To stifle criticism, he allowed something negative printed and then forbade discussion. However, it may be that he wasn't a Freemason. Unlike Russell, this author hasn't any Masonic records of membership to Rutherford or for Rutherford, although the rumors persist. The powers that controlled him certainly were not concerned whether he was a Mason or not, but simply that their goals would be furthered. That Rutherford could do what he pleased without the rank and file knowing, it is clearly demonstrated. He became an alcoholic, and this and his live-in girlfriend, who even signed his death certificate, managed to be kept secret. During Rutherford's reign, R.H. Barber of Bethel headquarters throws out a smokescreen with some false clues about the conspiracy to bring in a one-world government. He points the finger at the Christian clergy. He says the Christian clergy have originated the conspiracy and are in some way deceiving the governments into becoming a party of the conspiracy. This is from the Golden Age, page 277 and 278, February 3rd, 1932. Another conspiracy smokescreen appears in the book The Truth Shall Make You Free in 1943. It states that Christendom has an international police force for her continual world domination. Well, wouldn't that be the Jesuits? But Rutherford is careful not to tell us the esoteric Masonic sources that have taught him all about the supposed pagan connections to Christian symbols. Such things as phallic worship. Phallic worship is, by the way, declared by Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma to be the true worship of Masonry. Each Scottish Rite Mason is given Pike's book after the 32nd degree. Again, Rutherford, like Russell, is careful not to clue us in on any Masonic connections. Isn't it easier to believe that he learned all this mystery, religion, pagan symbolism stuff from the Masonic sources than from angels? After Rutherford, the Watchtower Society leaders continued their secrecy. Covington, remember that name again, like Harold Covington, even managed to succeed Rutherford as president and run the society for a period without the rank-and-file Jehovah's Witnesses knowing about it. Nathan Knorr pushed him aside, and apparently that suited the powers in control of things, which is the B'nai B'rith Jews. Knorr, Covington, and Franz were to work together. But circumstances didn't really work out that way. Covington, not one of the anointed, theologically was a red herring. Yet the Covington family is a prominent family within the order, so he may have had strong support, at least temporarily. At the Scottish Douglas Walsh trial in 1954, we see Covington lying under oath. Another Jehovah's Witness named Hughes asked the same question, gives the truth. What was the question? The question was whether the Jehovah's Witnesses use other groups' buildings for their kingdom halls. The practice of using Masonic halls and Oddfellows halls was widespread. Covington was in the best position of anyone to know this, so why did he lie about it? Was this perhaps a sensitive issue? The questions on page 381 of the trial transcript had touched on the buildings rented for use as kingdom halls and what steps were taken to consecrate them. On pages 382 of that trial transcript, the questioner asks, "Sometimes the kingdom halls are shared with other bodies or secular societies, aren't they?" "I do not know of any such cases where the actual hall itself is. I may say this, that kingdom halls of Jehovah's Witnesses are often to be found in commercial neighborhoods and in buildings where, say, for instance, on the ground floor there might be a store." However, the truth is that the Jehovah's Witnesses were using Masonic temples and lodges. In Grand Coulee, Washington, the kingdom hall was located on the bottom floor of the Oddfellows Hall. And while the Jehovah's Witnesses used the bottom floor, the odd fellows would at times be conducting meetings above them. This lasted from about 1947 to 52. Two of the Melbourne Kingdom Halls in Australia were Masonic lodges to begin with. The Kingdom Hall at 256 Murray Road, President Victoria, Australia, had, I don't know what that press is, P-R-E-S, Victoria, Australia, has been a Spiritist church which was converted into a Kingdom Hall. While Covington only admits to a dedication of Kingdom Halls occurring, the truth is that this Spiritist church required the spirits to be exorcised by the Jehovah's Witnesses before they could use it. Covington was privy to everything, having been the society head legal guardian and its president and vice president. A.F. Hughes, under oath, apparently doesn't know the sensitivity of the issue, for when he is asked, several questions about the Kingdom Halls lead up to the question. These halls are sometimes owned by the society. They are owned by the local congregation. Or leased by the local congregation? Yes. Or shared with others outside agencies? Sometimes, yes. But that would only be where there is a small congregation that is not able to meet the cost for the time being. They would, of course, have the ultimate in mind that they would have a Kingdom Hall of their own. Douglas Walsh Trial, page 626, 627, 1954. Well, we're on page 291, so we made it somewhere, and we will continue from there. Amazing, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that you're learning much, and I hope that you'll close your mouth because you've been like, what? I mean, it's amazing what we're finding out here. This is just beyond measure. Demonic. They're playing around with Ouija healing devices. They're telling people they should receive the mark and on and on and on. I mean, this is just amazing. That's all I can say. One thing I'm going to do, and I would suggest you do too, is look up the devil's mark on Google. And then if you don't get anything, you know, real defined, put witches get the devil's mark. That's all. I want to see what this mark looks like. We're living in a world of Antichrist, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not nice. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.